Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, everybody, put your hands together. It's got to get better. All over the world, listen to these words. People come.
People go.
People
go.
Your life has been.
Your life has been.
Out of control.
Out of control.
You're confused.
You're confused.
But don't worry.
Don't worry. Your song, it will get better.
It's gotta get
better. It will get better.
It's gonna be
better. It will get better.
Cause
God is in control,
y'all. Hey. Thank you, Lord. Hey.
Find the praise
within your heart.
Coming out, and we know that spring is truly here.
And I hope everyone will enjoy their day and get out in the beautiful weather. It's such a pleasure to see the beautiful sunshine and, of course, the marvelous buds that are coming out everywhere. Well, we're going to begin our program today with a psalm, as we usually do. And I want to do Psalm 16. And the subtitle in my Bible is Eternal Life for the One Who Trusts. Preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. O my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord. My goodness is nothing apart from you. And to the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. Their sorrow shall be multiplied who hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood I will not offer, nor take up their names on my lips. You, O Lord, are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, and I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and your right hand are pleasures forevermore. I know the Lord will add a blessing to the reading of this beautiful word. I particularly selected this psalm because today we are going to be dealing with this week's readings in Keep a True Lent. And I see this psalm as the psalm of the overcomer. And all of us are overcomers. And this psalm recapitulates what being an overcomer is like. I'm going to come back to some of this psalm as we discuss this week's readings in Keep a True Lent. But before we go to Keep a True Lent, I want to for us to look at what did we read this week in Let Go and Let God, 40 Days, Lent 2024. And so we usually start that way, so I'm going to start that way today. Let me just get the right Sunday. Okay, on March 17th, that was the beginning of this week. Jesus, the essay that's written by Reverend Ellen Devenport for the fifth Sunday of Lent is Jesus Let Go of Being Right. I think for all of us we have to smile when we think of that, because I know we remember the times when, or the years when we had to be right. And so we would go to any lengths to be right. We would go to any arguments to be right. And it was such an important thing for us to be right. However, in this little writing that Reverend Ellen Devenport has written, she writes about Jesus letting go of being right. Jesus did a lot of explaining during his ministry. He tried to describe the nature of God, the oneness of humanity with the divine, and our ability to live from Christ consciousness in the way he did. He told parables, created memorable sayings, performed healings and other signs, all in an effort to help followers understand that their own divine nature and understand their own divine nature and the impossibility of being separated from God. Those are the two of the most time-consuming truths that we have to deal with. Understand their own divine nature and the impossibility of being separate from God. When he didn't try to explain, what he didn't try to explain was himself, who he was, why he was here, how we should think of him. We've seen how he let go of others' opinions. Despite wild speculations about him, he didn't defend himself. He let go of needing to be understood. Even when faced with criticism, he didn't have to prove himself right. We see this most vividly in the most dire circumstances, at his trial. The four Gospels differ somewhat in their telling of his appearance before the Roman governor Pilate, and only in Luke, the regional ruler Herod. But in each version, Jesus simply refused to explain himself. Read the full stories in Matthew 27:11-25, Mark 15:1-15, Luke 23:1-25, and John 18:28-19. Matthew is the most succinct. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus said, "You say so." But when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he did not answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many accusations they make against you?" But he gave him no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. See Matthew 27:11-14. In Luke, when Pilate realized Jesus was Galilean, he packed him off to Herod, the Judean ruler, who happened to be in Jerusalem. But Herod couldn't get an explanation from Jesus. When Herod saw Jesus, he was very glad, for he had been a long time, because he had heard about him and was hoping to see him perform some sign. He questioned him at some length, but Jesus gave no answer. The chief priests and the scribes stood by, vehemently accusing him. Even Herod, with his soldiers, treated him with contempt and mocked him. But he put then he put an elegant robe on Jesus and sent him back to Pilate. In each version, Pilate could find no crime. Pilate could find no crime Jesus had committed and was ready to release him, but the crowd demanded Barabbas instead, and Jesus was led to the cross. We may be astonished that Jesus gave up his one chance to defend his actions and explain his teachings, to reassure the authorities that he had no intention of overthrowing the government, but he was establishing a spiritual kingdom. He let go of the need to be seen as right. He let his work speak for itself. And his ministry has been justified by the billions who have practiced his teachings for the past 20 centuries, and we most certainly can count ourselves among the billions. And so this idea that we must be right at all costs, that we must be seen as we truly are, is something that we have to give up also and allow our work to speak for us. In the week that followed, we are asked to let go of chaos. We are asked to let go of bitterness. We are asked to let go of fear of lack. We're asked to let go of apathy. We're asked to let go of feeling obligated and we're asked to let go of judgment. All of these are important, and I'm sure that you have read them over the week, but there are a couple that we are just going to mention briefly today, and one is let go of bitterness. And Reverend Michael Jameson writes, "We ignore warning signs at our peril. The taste of bitterness is a warning sign. When the tongue tastes bitterness, the brain thinks poison. An automatic reaction is to spit out what could be a bitter poison. This is true of bitter tastes, but bitter emotions are sometimes savored for a while. There is no good reason for doing this. Not even righteous indignation merits retaining bitterness. Bitterness maintained means refusing to unshoulder a useless, debilitating burden. Until we drop the burden, betterment is blocked. We feel lighter the moment we choose to let go of bitterness. No longer are we mistreating ourselves with the heavy burden we created. As with bitterness tasted, we let the emotional bitterness go by opening our thoughts to the reality that we alone are punishing ourselves by retaining what harms us. Because we hosted the bitterness, we are also authorized to evict it, and the sooner the better." Hebrews 12:15 says, "See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and through it many become defiled." Yes, bitterness can become a root in our psyche that continually blossoms and blooms in us, and we can get rid of bitterness. The sooner the better. The affirmation is, "I replace bitterness with betterment." And so if you are harboring bitterness, let's let it go right here and right now and replace bitterness with betterment. All right, Reverend Mary Lou, you have one or two that you wanted to share with us too. Go right ahead.
Oh, thank you, Reverend Ellen. So for today, on Friday, March 22nd, what we can let go of, I let go of feeling obligated. Now, how often has a request been made from me, and I have responded yes before thinking my answer through? So often, these responses come as a desire to please another or to take advantage of a situation. Now, they come from my ego. The result is a feeling of obligation rather than a willingness to serve. Obligations are often followed by judgment. Now, what do I do? Now, every situation brings an opportunity to know ourselves a bit more. When I awaken to the dilemma I have created, I am called to forgive myself and own up my errors. Then I can arise to meet the obligation or request a release from it. Now, when I turn within to my Christ self, I become aware that I am worthy no matter what. I stand humbled to know that others can and will come forth to do what needs to be done. And the scripture from Matthew 5:37, "Let your word be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one." And this reading is Reverend Peggy Condo. And the affirmation, I serve from a loving, willing heart, knowing God is my source for all I need. And another affirmation, to let go of feeling obligated, would be to say, I love to do this, instead of I have to do this. Just ask yourself how you feel. I love to do this instead of, oh, I have to do this. So here it says, obligations often followed by judgment. So the next thing we need to let go of is I let go of judgment. Okay. And the reading from Keep It True Lens. Today, I release judgment and choose to observe life from a higher point of view. I turn away from conversations or news events that cast blame or criticism. I let go of any judgment I hold towards others who may have been unkind or judgmental towards me. I let go of judgments, and I don't judge, I love. So I choose to be a witness to love and well-being in our beauty-infused world. I practice seeing everyone as God's creation. As I expectantly look for acts of loving kindness, I also watch for opportunities to be a blessing to someone. Now, if I've criticized myself, focusing on a past error or errors or goals not met, I now can let go of self-judgment and embrace self-love. I make a list of my positive gifts and unique talents, appreciating who I am, a beautiful divine creature, creation, a beautiful divine creation. Observing life with non-judgment and compassion, I behold the glorious, incredible experience that life is, and even more joy, love, and delightful experiences bring forth in celebration of just being alive. And the scripture is from Psalm 145, verse 9. The Lord is good to all, and his compassion is over all that he has made. And this reading is written by a Reverend Bronte Colbert. And then when I let go of judgment, I love, and the affirmation, I observe my world in the light of love. So thank you.
Okay. So this week's readings have been very, very helpful to all of us, I'm sure. And we look forward to next week's starting with Palm Sunday, March 24th, Jesus let go of the outcome. And so all of this Holy Week readings up to next Sunday, Easter Sunday, will certainly be of great value to us. And so we will continue with that next week. All right, it's time now to move to Keep a True Lent. The week readings, this week's readings in Keep a True Lent have been extremely riveting and very, very important, chock full of material from scripture, from affirmations that are so very, very important to us as the people who are on the path of regeneration. The first reading was the overcomer last Sunday. And this overcomer is the week's readings after the reading about the overcomer. These readings are about change. And this whole week, all the readings had to do with change. And we especially were talking about renewing of the mind, changing of thoughts to demonstrate divine law in body and in the innermost consciousness. The reading of the overcomer states the desire of all of us who are on this path of regeneration to overcome all errors, to attain spiritual power, mastery, and dominion. Jesus said, "He that overcometh, I will give him to sit down with me in my throne." And so spiritually, we want to be as close to Jesus to be able to sit with him in his throne. The overcomer's job to help establish a new race consciousness, a new heaven and a new earth, where righteousness is the rule for everyone. In the second reading, the next day, patience is the topic. And the overcomer is overcoming is a process, and the overcomer must have patience. One of the scriptures say, run with patience the race that is set before you. And so as we read that, we work with the patience that we need. The third reading, the overcomer needs divine judgment to discern truth. The I Am, the Christ consciousness, will do the judging or discerning between the true and the false every day as an overcomer. The next reading, the overcomer must be aware that right thinking and right speaking are necessary in using the mind constructively to bring about the right results. And so that's an important reading also. The fifth reading, the overcomer must overcome the belief in death, as Jesus did. So identifying with the Christ that I know that and so in identifying with the Christ, the overcomer is to know that the light that is in him is a perpetual current of omnipresent energy. Powerful reading. And the next reading, the overcomer must go into the place of transfiguration with Jesus to experience the mind and the body. Indeed, his mind and his body, the overcomer's mind and body, radiant with the light of spirit. And the last reading for the week, the overcomer must experience the phenomenon of transmutation from the natural to the spiritual change in mind and body. These readings this week are absolutely fantastic. And so, unfortunately, because of time constraints, we cannot go into each one of them. But I tell you, it is well worth it to go into them and really, really, really study them. They're beautiful. So I'm just going to share with you the Overcomer, which was last Sunday's reading. We're just going to do the reading and the questions. The overcomer. An overcomer is one who recognizes the truth of his being and is renewing his mind and body and affairs by changing his thoughts from the old mortal beliefs to the new as he sees them in divine mind. He is the one who demonstrates the divine law, not only in surface life, but in innermost consciousness. Spiritual power, mastery, and dominion are attained by the overcomer. Quote from the Bible, "He that overcometh, I will give him to sit down with me in my throne." The way of overcoming is, first, to place oneself by faith in the realization of sonship, and secondly, to demonstrate it faithfully in every thought and act. I think the operative word there is in every thought and act. One of the laws of mind is that man becomes like that which with which he identifies himself. Christ is the one perfect pattern. Everyone desires to overcome all errors, and each should therefore be wise and identify himself with the Christ. No external condition or circumstance can hold man in bondage when he makes mental contact with God. And so that contact with God is a mental exercise. It was to the overcomer that Jehovah spoke when through one of the old prophets, he said, "I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten." We have many blessings. Begin to praise God for the abundance of all things. Your words will crack the omnipresent ethers, and good will flow to you from every direction. That I have to do as an overcomer for the world is to help establish a new race consciousness, a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. By being true to my highest understanding of truth, I never swerve to the right nor left for any reason. I affirm, I am an overcomer through Jesus Christ, and I rest in the realization of his grace and power. There are four questions that reinforce these what's been said here. And the first question, of course, is define overcomer. An overcomer is one who recognizes the truth of his being and is renewing his mind and body and affairs by changing his thoughts, old mortal beliefs, to the new as he sees them in divine mind. And the second question is, I lost my page just a minute. How does one become an overcomer? The way of overcoming is first to place oneself by faith in the realization of sonship, and secondly, to demonstrate it faithfully in what is one of the laws of mind. One of the laws of mind is that man becomes like that with which he identifies himself. Christ is the one perfect pattern. Everyone desires to overcome all errors, and each should therefore be wise and identify himself with the Christ. And four, what is the work we have to do as overcomers? The work that I have to do as an overcomer for the world is to establish a new race consciousness, a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. By being true to my highest understanding of truth, I never swerve to the right nor to the left. And the affirmation that follows the questions, I claim my dominion in Christ. I affirm my freedom to express the Christ perfection within me. I am an overcomer through Jesus Christ, and I rest in the realization of his grace and power. I claim my dominion in Christ. I affirm my freedom to express the Christ perfection in me. Okay, and so we're going to go to the two more for this week, the At-One-ment or Atonement and the Mount of Transfiguration. Reverend Mary Lou, if you will.
Oh, thank you. So the At-One-ment, also the Atonement, the scripture reading is from John 17, 1 to 26. And it's where Jesus prays for his disciples. And so I'm just going to read the Keep a True Lent here. Now, Jesus played a most important part in opening the way for mankind into his Father's kingdom. This was accomplished by his overcoming the belief in death. Atonement means the reconciliation between God and men through Christ. Jesus became the way by which all who accept him may, quote, pass over to the higher consciousness. And we have atonement at one minute through him. And quote, Christ, who his own self bare our sins in his body upon the tree, that we have died unto sin, might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. End quote. Now, the whole race was caught in the meshes of its own thought, and through drowsy ignorance would have remained there had not a break been made in the structure, but and the light of a higher way let in. Now, if you were held in the meshes of a great spider web and someone made a hole through which you could pass, you would go where the hole was and would make your escape that way. Now, Jesus made this aperture in the race thought and thus threw open wide the door into the spiritual realm. Jesus, his Christianity had a living God in it, a God that lived in him and spoke through him. It is a religion of life as well as of purity. Men are to be alive, not merely exist half dead for a few years and then go out with a sputter. Now, Christ's men are to be lights that glow with a perpetual current from the one omnipresent energy. Now, declaring my unity with this power, I affirm the redeeming word of Jesus Christ. I am the resurrection and the life. Make me whole and perfect. Now, the questions for the At-One-ment. The first one, how did Jesus open the way for mankind into the Father's kingdom? Now, Jesus played a most important part in opening the way for mankind into the Father's kingdom. Now, Jesus accomplished this by his overcoming the belief in death. And the second question, what does atonement mean? Now, atonement, at one minute, means the reconciliation between God and men through Christ. Jesus became the way by which all who accept him may pass over to the higher consciousness. We have atonement through him. Christ, who his own self bare our sins in his body upon the tree, that we have died unto sins, might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. So this atonement. And then the third question, what would have happened then to mankind if Jesus had not come? Now, the whole race was caught in the meshes of its own thought, and through the being drowsy ignorance would have remained there had not a break been made in the structure and the light of a higher consciousness, a higher way, let in. So, and then describe the Christianity of Jesus. Now, Jesus, his Christianity has a living God in it, a God that lived in him and spoke through him. It is a religion of life as well as of purity. Men are to be alive, not merely exist, half dead for a few years, and then go out with a sputter. Now, Christ's men are to be lights that glow with a perpetual current from the one omnipresent energy. At the affirmation, at the end of the question, I am one with God. He is one with me. God is in me as the light shines, dissipating all darkness, radiating into every part of my life. And the affirmation from the reading, declaring my unity with this power, I affirm the redeeming word of Jesus Christ. I am the resurrection and the life, makes me whole and perfect. And then the next reading is the Mount of Transfiguration. Now, the scripture is from Matthew 17, 1 to 13. And this is where Jesus, let me see if I can get it, takes three of his disciples, John, James, and Peter, faith, wisdom, and love, faculties. And he takes the disciples up to the mountain, which is the where the transfiguration happens. And now transfiguration, in the reading of Keep Your True Lent, is always preceded by a change of mind. In transfiguration, ideals are lifted from the material and then transfigured into the spiritual. Going up into the mountain to pray means an elevation of thought, an aspiration from the mortal thoughts to the spiritual thoughts. Now, when the mind is exalted in prayer, the rapid radiation of mental energy, this causes a dazzling light radiation from all parts of the body, and especially the head, the halo. Now, even our so-called physical body reveals a radiant body, which Jesus referred to as sitting on the throne of his glory. Now, which interlaces this the trillions of cells of the organism and burns brightly. Now, Jesus gave his disciples a glimpse of his radiant body when he was transfigured before them. His face did shine as the sun, and his garments became white as the light. Now, he was very advanced, as we know, in spiritual consciousness, and was developed to a larger degree than anyone else in our race. But we all still have this ability. We all have that body of light and its development. Now, it's in proportion to our spiritual practices and our spiritual culture. Now, Jesus did not go down to corruption, but by the intensity of his spiritual practices and devotions, Jesus transformed every cell into its innate divine light and power. Now, when John was in the spirit of devotion, Jesus appeared to him and, quote, his eyes were as a flame of fire and his feet like unto burnished brass. Now, Jesus lives today in that body of glorified light in a kingdom that interpenetrates the earth and its environment. Jesus is my way shower. In his name I affirm my mind and body are radiant with the light of spirit, and I am triumphant, glorious, and splendid. So this is the Mount of Transfiguration, where Jesus said, this is my son, in whom I am well pleased, in which God said that to the disciples. And he said to listen to Jesus. Now the question, from in the back, it says, what precedes transfiguration? And transfiguration is always preceded by a change of mind. And in transfiguration, ideals then are lifted from material to spiritual. The second, what happens when the mind is exalted in prayer? So when the mind is exalted in prayer, the rapid radiation of mental energy causes a dazzling light radiation from all parts of the body, and especially from the head. Now, do we all have a body of light? Explain. Yes, we all have a body of light. But and its development, though, is in proportion to our spiritual practices, our spiritual culture, our attention to the prayers and meditation and love of each other. And now, how did Jesus transform his body? Jesus, by the intensity of his spiritual devotion, by the intensity of his love in his heart and his spiritual practices, transformed every cell into its innate light and power. And then the reading for the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus referred to us as children of light. I am a child of light. I have a mind filled with light, a body filled with light. I am shining, glorious, and splendid. And the affirmation in the reading, Jesus is my or our way shower. In his name, I affirm my mind and body are radiant with the light of spirit. And I am triumphant, glorious, and splendid. And so it is. So thank you.
Well, thank you very much. As we go along this week as overcomers,
yes.
We see that we have several, in these readings, we have several instructions for overcomers. I am especially knocked out in the Mount of Transfiguration when it reads, in prayer, we all have a radiant body, and its development is in proportion to our spiritual culture, saying that when we are in prayer, all of this wonderful cells begin to burn brightly, and we are transfigured as we pray. And so that gives us double impetus to pray, and we have this radiant body, the same as Jesus had. And its development, though, is in proportion to our spiritual culture. And so as an overcomer, then we are about the business of growing our spiritual culture. And the last one for the week on the Saturday, the transmutation, it is very interesting because not only is the consciousness or the inner man bright, the light, the inner light just bright, is bright in the time of prayer. But this wonderful power that we have, that Jesus has given us, it's the same as Jesus, it's also about the business of bringing changes to our bodies. The scripture that is cited in transmutation, the reading for Saturday, is John 2:11, and that's the wedding feast at Cana where Jesus turned water into wine. And so transmutation is the conversion of one element into another. In consciousness, transmutation is a changing in action and character to conform to spiritual standards. It is well said that the mind is the crucible in which the ideal is transmuted into the real. So transmutation does not mean disintegration, but transmutation means change from using what we have and converting it to the spiritual. Jesus said that all power was given to him in heaven and earth. He manifested his power in a small way by multiplying a few loaves and fishes to feed more than 5,000 persons. In various other instances, such as the wedding feast, he demonstrated that he had an understanding of the transmutation of substance. He raised his flesh body to an energy level far higher in potential life and substance than any had reached before him. We see that not only the mind, but also the body is affected in the process of developing out of the natural into the spiritual. The leaven of the Pharisees and of Herod, Mark 8:15, represent limited thoughts. When we attempt to confine the divine law to the customary avenues of expression and scoff at anything beyond, we are letting the leaven of the Pharisees work in us. When the mind is raised up through affirmation to God's omnipresent substance and life, we are not only fed, but there is a surplus. This is the teaching of Jesus, and it has always been exemplified by his faithful followers. I realize that through the law of transmutation, every error thought in my consciousness is transmuted into its spiritual correspondence, I affirm, spirit in me is transmuting my body into pure spiritual substance, and my soul rejoices. Okay, to just briefly go into the questions, transmutation. Well, transmutation is, according to Webster, is the conversion of one element into another. The second one, what is transmutation in consciousness? In consciousness, transmutation is a changing in action and character to conform to spiritual standards. It is well said that the mind is the crucible in which the ideal is transmuted into the real. The next question is, what is affected in the process of developing out of the natural into the spiritual? We see that not only the mind, but also the body is affected in the process of developing out of the natural into the spiritual. And the last question is, what does it mean to let the leaven of the Pharisees work in us? The leaven of the Pharisees and of Herod refer to limited thoughts. When the mind is raised from limited thoughts through affirmation to God's omnipresent substance and life, we are not only fed, but there is a surplus. This is the teaching of Jesus, been exemplified by his faithful followers. I love this last sentence. I realize that through the law of transmutation, every error thought in my consciousness is transmuted into its spiritual correspondence. So it means that there are many thoughts that are not really error thoughts, but still they're held in mind and they need amplification and clarification. And that happens with our thoughts. They don't necessarily have to be erased, but they can be raised to the spiritual level, into spiritual correspondences. And I think that that is such a beautiful thing. And that causes that this phenomenon of transmutation, the conversion of the ordinary into the spiritual and the spiritual into the ordinary, and they become one. And the affirmation, there is no condition of mind or body that cannot be lifted up. Spirit in me, God's spirit, is powerful and ever-present. Spirit is life-giving. Spirit in me is transmuting my body into spiritual substance, and my soul rejoices. And so it is. This week's readings are absolutely mind-blowing, especially if you take a look at some of the Fillmore online, their metaphysical readings of these readings and of the scripture that's suggested. They are absolutely wonderful. And so it is for this week. And next week is Holy Week. And so you know it's going to be, those are just going to be absolutely wonderful. And so it is. And so if anyone has a comment to make, our time has been well spent. Go right ahead. Well, we're going to wait for somebody to say something.
This is Elva.
Go right ahead.
Hi. Hi, Elva.
Hi. How's everybody? Okay. Yeah, I'm listening and I'm learning and being transformed by the renewal of my mind. Definitely what it is. That mindset being changed. Those error thoughts, which in one place in the Bible they refer to as the goats, and then changed into that truth. Those are the sheep. Those are the constructive ones. No, goats are the destructive ones. So these lessons are teaching me they are teaching me a lot about, you know, not taking the Bible literally, but to take it, you know, spiritual, or see it from a different perspective. Okay? This overcomer, you know, is powerful. It, you know, it says that, you know, if we're being renewed in the mind as the overcomer, and it's just, the whole thing is just so powerful the way that it's explained here. In one place it says the overcomer knows every day is a judgment day. Mm-hmm. Now, previously I was kind of confused about judgment day. I thought it was one day that, you know, God was going to come back and judge everybody. And that was judgment day.
Mm-hmm.
But what it's telling us is judgment day is every day. Every day is a judgment day.
Mm-hmm.
Every day we're supposed to be discerning, in other words. And
yes.
It said judgment is backed by love. I heard that somewhere in when Reverend Ellen was talking. Judgment is just loving. And that's the final judgment, when we all atone and come into this oneness and this Christ consciousness. When we align with that Christ consciousness and just love, that's when the final judgment, that's the final judgment. And so I got all of that out of there and out of this this discussion and these talks. And it's also very powerful the way that it's presented.
Yes.
Yeah, and so, you know, Easter is simply a time of discernment.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it is, a
mm-hmm.
time of discernment.
Mm-hmm.
When we go from that one state of consciousness, that destructive state of consciousness, that error state of consciousness, into that constructive thought. We
yes.
pull off this physical man. We leave that in the tomb of darkness, and then we rise ourselves up, we resurrect ourselves into that spiritual man. Jesus, he said, first he called himself the Son of Man, and
mm-hmm.
after the resurrection, after he rises into this highest state of consciousness, this Christ become fully align with the Christ consciousness, or understand fully his divine self, he called himself the Son of God. And that's what happened. That's what happens. That's what's supposed to happen to us when we become the overcomer, when we decide that, you know, when we start to identify with our divine self.
Yes.
So that's kind of what I'm getting here.
Me too.
Out of all of
me too.
So we definitely, these readings definitely will get you out of that traditional thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And get you into that higher realm of that heavenly, that higher realm of thinking.
Most certainly. And you know what? I saw a show, I've forgotten what station it's on. I'll have to go and look it. They have four women who were sitting in a room, very in a circle. It was, you know, they were just sitting there. Younger women, I would say, well, 30s maybe. And they were talking about applying spiritual teachings to practical situations. Now, as I watched, I realized that they had already, before the show, they had decided what they were going to say.
Mm-hmm.
And more than likely, they had, you know, run it around many times and
took out what didn't need to be said, etc. So I'm not saying that they were strictly impromptu.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a very interesting program because you have four different people with different subjects. You know, I wasn't really tuned in to check it out, and I didn't tape the program or anything like that, so I can't say that they didn't have a theme. They probably did. But anyway, I'm thinking that, and one of the things I liked about it was that they were talking about practical things, the Bible, practical things, so that it wasn't, and by the way, one of the women in one of the programs is Osteen's wife, right? So I know that the others, I didn't know the others, maybe some other people do, I don't know. Anyway, my point is this. What we are talking about here could be presented in such a way that people would be talking, we could talk about practical, the metaphysics in a practical way, such as that Jesus is our way shower. Now, I know a lot of people get converted and they go up to the altar and they get prayed for, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But what does it mean for Jesus to be your way shower? What does that actually mean? We have to have some kind of instruction or some kind of discussion about the change of mind, because they call it conversion, the change of mind. What areas does it take? What changes of what in particular? And that can go all the way from changing your drinking habits to what we're talking about here. Your prayer life. What does your prayer life do for you? I love hearing that. That when you pray, you go into a place that is elevated, that the electrons in your body do stuff, and your body changes and your temperature changes and all of that. Those are things that people need to know. They mean, I know when I read that, I said, wow, I didn't know what that was going on when I'm praying.
Right.
So what I'm saying is that there are things that come out here that I don't think people are really aware. And I'm talking about New Thought people.
Absolutely.
And I've been New Thought for like 20 years, and I'm just beginning, this year was when I saw, in reading this stuff for the last 5-6 days, that I saw stuff I have never seen before.
Okay, it's called awakening.
Okay, thank you.
It's called awakening, and it is gradual.
Yes,
You know, you hear people say, I got saved and all that, and happened one overnight and stuff like that. But it's called awakening, and like the altar thing.
Yes.
You know, we learn in the first week to mean.
Yes.
You know, it's not just going up to the front of the church. And that's, you know, altar is your prayer time. Your altar time is your prayer time.
Yes.
And I have something here on atonement and affirmative prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And in that I said affirmative prayer, I make positive statements that help me to feel at one with the one, or feel my oneness with God. Prayer is my way of remembering that the renewing presence of God is in me. When I'm in doubt or I'm pessimistic attitude, affirmative prayer assures me that I know without any doubt I have touched the hem of his garment, or I have touched that consciousness of oneness with the Christ. And feeling this assurance lets me know that there is a reconciliation between God and myself and the Christ. And I am moved to a more positive attitude when I feel hopeful and they feel that whatever I have asked, I have already received. And so that's the thing of affirmative prayer. You go into that prayer. You don't go in there begging and pleading or any of that because you know you already have. All you have to do is open yourself up and receive it at that point. That's the key to affirmative prayer.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, all this works together. You know, the affirmative prayer, the atonement, being transfigured and being transmuted, being changed, all of this is, you know.
All of it is changed.
That's what prayer does.
Yes.
We heard that.
We heard that years ago. Prayer changes things. Okay, so let's talk about how prayer changes things.
It changes the consciousness. Just that simple.
Okay, it changes the consciousness. All right. And for what reason and to what end? You know,
because life is consciousness.
Okay.
Everything that we see in the outer or in the manifestation world started with an idea, started in the consciousness.
Yes.
Everything. Until we learn that, you know, we're going to keep manifesting stuff that we don't want.
Mm-hmm.
We got to see it in the imagination, in the consciousness. It's there. We have to see it there. Life is consciousness. Prayer changes things because it changes the way we see things, the way we think about things.
Okay.
I'm thinking of a way to make
this more real,
practical.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's what attracted me to unity.
Me too.
When I first stepped in the church, they said, practical Christianity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I didn't really understand what it meant then, but I am. You can relate them.
Yes.
In your everyday experiences.
Yes. And none of this is pie in the sky. It's now. It's going on here and now.
Right.
Not in the future, you know, when you go to heaven and you die, go to heaven.
And even though, you know, they use the word sheep and the goat, that's our thought. Some of our thoughts are destructive, and some of our thoughts are constructive. That's the sheep. That's the goat. That's the way they are.
That's right.
And then we look at the thing with did you have the miracle last week? The word miracle, you know, where Jesus took the five loaves, the fish and the loaves of bread, and he fed 5,000.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, that is nothing more than taking an idea, a divine idea from the mind, and spiritually feeding someone that. You know, you're a minister, you know, you can, how many people can you feed with one idea?
That's
all that stuff. You have to break it down and understand, you know, that the Bible's in parables, it's esoteric, it's all of that, symbolic, and that, you know, just taking that goat and that sheep, taking that miracle of the fish and the loaves, and knowing that it's not talking about a physical fish, a seed. It's talking about a seed idea.
Yes.
And you take that, and you can feed thousands and millions. Like you say, you saw the women in this discussion on TV. That's what that was. They were taking seed ideas and feeding people all over the world. Coming through radio and TV. Yeah.
Yes. All right. To be continued. This one for next week is dynamite.
Oh, yeah.
Next week, dynamite.
Yeah. It's going to blow you away, huh?
Dynamite. Dynamite.
Blow us away. Blow us away. Yeah.
Well, so until next week. But I'm serious about changing the format of the program, and we'll see what happens. But to take these, and we're going to go into the New Testament. So we are really going to be studying Jesus the Christ. And so perhaps Jesus the Christ, our way-shower, our guide, being presented to us in practical ways according to the scripture that we're reading? I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, you may not know, but I know that, you know, there's some more to this Jesus thing than what we've been given.
Yes,
and so,
there is.
So that's what
there
you're
is.
Talking about looking into.
Yes.
You know, going beyond.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, that's what you're talking about. Going beyond this appearance, going beyond this man Jesus to the Christ Jesus, which we are all those Christed beings.
Yes.
We all have the spirit of the living God in us.
We're right,
and
you know one thing that tickled me, though, the whole idea of the light, this week or in the overcomer situation, the light, that light is amplified, and during your prayer time.
So you just gonna keep feeding us and feeding us till we want no more.
Oh,
thank you so much, Reverend Ellen.
This whole prayer thing is just knocking me out.
Just keep bringing the food to us.
Yes, okay, we will keep on bringing the food.
And we'll see it. We'll see everything multiplying.
Yes, we will. Yes, we will. Yes, we will. Well, I don't know what happened to our theme song, but it's late. 2:15, 2:18. What time is it?
Yeah, 2:17.
Well, I don't know what happened to the station, but we're going to sign off.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, this is
great. Well, thank you so much.
Anyway,
I appreciate
you. Let's talk about that. How a presentation of conversations about the scriptures, but practical examples, you know?
Yeah, accessible. Accessible. Yeah,
very accessible.
Accessible.
Thank you. Good word. Okay, let's say our prayer of protection, the light of God surrounds us, the love of God,
and love
the
of God
and power of God
protects us,
the presence of God watches over us wherever we are.
God is, and all is well.
Go in peace.
And
walk with the Master. Okay, so till next week, take care. God bless.
Okay. And God bless
we'll
everyone.
Talk soon. Enjoy the day. It's beautiful out. Take care.
Thank you. Enjoy.
Bye-bye.
Bless you.
Bye.